Just thinking about Dropkick Murphys. That's all I want.
Y'all ready? Hey guys, this beekeeping episode has been keeping me busy trying to learn things about.
Was not a fan of that at
no,
all.
No, that was kind of a terrible start. It was pretty good in theory, but it just was executed perfectly.
I think y'all are where it went wrong, because if the reception was there, the positive reception had been there, then the listener would have been like, oh, that was good.
It was as bad as Detective John Donegan's joke over the weekend about going to the dog show, because he's going to a show with all his dogs.
I think mine was a little better than that.
No, that was about as bad. John's might have actually been even better.
I don't know. He said he was just going to a dog show, meaning he was just going to go to a concert with all of his friends.
Well, the whole thing was that our friend Jen asked what kind of show we were going to, because we asked if she wanted to come. We were going to a dog show, and he said, "Yeah, we're going to a dog show because I'm going to a show with all my dogs." He actually explained the joke.
Mine was way better.
Yeah, his was a lot. Sam's was a lot better.
Thank you.
I disagree wholeheartedly on that one.
I think y'all just weren't ready for it.
Yeah, so we're doing beekeeping this week.
Beekeeping, John's a fascinating hobby, perhaps the most fascinating of all the... make sure
Sorry,
to sneeze right into the center
Sorry, I had to sneeze.
Of the microphone. Bless you.
Thank you.
I'm Sam Zena.
Sam Porter.
Dylan Heimbrock.
I hope you know us by now. I hope you listened to a couple so far.
This is episode 15.
15.
This is episode 15 somehow, so we've been doing this for 15 weeks.
15 years, yeah.
15 years. 15 years. I've been doing the dog show.
No, yeah, we've actually been recording them once a year for 15 years and finally decided to start releasing them weekly.
You're ahead of the curve on the podcasts, you know.
Yeah.
Way ahead. We're one of the first ones ever, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Our first few episodes are on a Talkboy. I don't know if you can tell from the quality, but I think once you know that fact, you kind of hear it.
Yeah. We're inspired by Rob Schneider's character,
especially when
we
speed it up and make it the robot voice.
Well, Rob Schneider was kind of like the founding father of all podcasts, I believe. He was actually the founding father of all modern technology, outside of current technology.
he was a really big proponent of the mini disc, especially.
What was that disclaimer at the end? Outside of current technology.
Yeah, he was the founder of modern technology that's outside of current technology. Yeah.
So what would that include?
Like the mini disc?
Just modern technology.
Like obsolete technology.
No, modern technology, but it's not current.
Right, like the mini disc.
So he invented everything except for everything that currently exists?
Yeah, like PlayStations.
He didn't invent that.
No, he did. That's modern.
It's modern, but it's not current.
So only 1 and 2, not 3.
So he doesn't do any of the addendums, I should say, of technology.
Right.
Addenda is probably the plural of that word.
Well, it probably
Wouldn't
is.
It
I don't
like
know if
he created
the
Betamax player.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's something he created.
He created most weaponry, too, that people used.
HD DVDs.
That's fascinating. I was not aware that he created most weaponry.
So I feel like obsolete technology actually is a good descriptor.
No. I mean, you could feel that way, but I don't feel that way.
I don't see the distinction.
Well, he created the PlayStation, but it's not obsolete because people still use it. It's just not current technology.
It's not current, but it's still modern.
Right. It's just not the most modern.
Like cell phones are still current, but they're not modern.
So like car phones.
Car phones are not modern, are they?
How are car phones not modern?
No, car phones are modern. People have their phones directly into their speakers on their cars now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's modern technology, so right. Yeah.
But I'm talking about...
That's actually modern and current.
Like a good old-fashioned bag phone.
Oh, one of those? Car. What about Yakback? I think he invented that. You guys remember those?
Did he also invent Gak?
That stuff smelled awful.
That was the worst smelling stuff.
It made your hands smell terrible forever.
Yeah. Well, imagine what the liquid shit that they would drop on people in the Nickelodeon studios. Imagine what that must have smelled like.
Was that actually called Gak? No.
That was like cornstarch and
slime.
Apple juice or something.
No, it was called Gak.
No, that was slime. No, the idea for the Gak toy product came from the slime on Nickelodeon.
I thought that they called the what they dropped
How
on
much
them
Nickelodeon
Gak
did
too.
You not
No, because
watch.
You get slimed. They just called it green slime.
Yeah,
finding this out. I'm actually looking this up.
I'm 100% positive.
Yeah, I
on
actually
that
got
one.
Zena's back on this one, buddy.
They also had a product called Floam. It was like Gak covered in little foam beads.
Yeah, that was actually pretty awesome. Do you remember that one talk show that was like not a talk show actually, because they weren't really talking on it, but it wasn't really a talk show format. It was more like a game show, but they would
figure
have...
Figure it out.
You
figure it out.
Yeah,
I figured
yeah.
it out.
That was a great show.
Yeah.
With
Summer Sanders.
Yeah,
Summer
the
Sanders.
Swimmer. She's a swimmer? Woo.
Yeah, she was a swimmer. She was, Olympics. She was an Olympic
she
athlete.
Was cute.
She was very
she was
pretty.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
My first crush.
That actually might be one of my first crushes. No, she wasn't my first crush.
I did it. I'm sure I had plenty of crushes before that, but she was my first.
Well, you're probably around the same. You're probably around the age of being a teenager at that time. So
you're only like not even a year older than me.
I know. So I was an adult.
Is that
how it worked?
I don't think so. So
no.
Beekeeping.
Yeah. So we're doing beekeeping.
It's been
as a hobby.
Me busy.
There you go. It's been keeping me wanting to eat honey. I like to eat a lot of honey every day.
You know, I used to love
You're
honey.
Right about the sun.
Now I don't like it very much.
Oh, wow. Hot dog confirmed.
Dylan was wrong.
That's right.
I've been finding I don't like honey that much anymore. Isn't that weird?
How do you not like honey?
Yeah, how do
I
you?
I don't know. It just doesn't.
It's just sugar and water. That's all it is.
Did you study it all?
Yes.
It's not just sugar and water, Dylan.
Oh, my gosh.
It's
you need to leave this
If it
room.
Were just sugar and water, there wouldn't be beekeeping now, would there?
It's it's made up of 80% sugar and 20% water.
And bee enzymes and things like that.
Bezymes?
Bezymes.
Those don't matter.
Bezymes.
Those don't count.
Bezymes.
So when do you, really how long ago do you think beekeeping started?
I'm going to say 16th century.
16th century. Now we're talking, I mean, of course, bees have always pollinated plants. They've always produced honey. And I'm sure people have always stumbled upon honeycombs and been like, hey, this is delicious. Until they get to a stage in their life like I have where they don't like it anymore.
I think you're actually a rare exception. I think people, as they get older.
But when do you think, you know, domesticating bees and harvesting the honey, when do you think that started?
I'm saying 16th century.
Dylan?
I don't know, like a real long time ago.
Dylan's right. If this were The Price is Right, Dylan would nail it.
It wasn't 1600. I mean, like...
What year would you say?
I don't know, like 600 BC? Something.
Oh, you would say 600 BC? So you would have 600 BC until, what, probably the 1599? I'd actually take 1500. So it would win?
I'm not really following what you're saying.
We're doing Price
is
Right.
We're doing Price is Right. He's going the one
below
me.
Over under. Oh,
standard,
so you're changing yours.
No. I'm saying 16th century, buddy. Sticking with it hard.
16th century AD.
1500 AD.
Which is 16th century.
Yeah, 1500 is the 16th century. Yeah, yeah. Did you go to school at all?
I did. I had some schooling. It was 13,000 BC.
Wow.
Evidence of beekeeping has been discovered that early in Asia, Africa, South America, and Australia.
And how do they know?
Carbon dating. I just made that up. I don't know.
Well, I saw a thing about like an old Egyptian.
I think there was some sort of
just cuts
cave,
me off.
Cave
cut.
Drawings.
You just cut.
You just cut me off. It's just unbelievable.
I was trying to answer. I was trying to remember the answer because there is an answer
you,
to that question.
You gave an answer. Now it's on Dylan.
Well, now I don't even know if I want to give my answer.
Give it.
All right. Well, I did read about some ancient Egyptian king or pharaoh, as they call him, who had a tomb, and inside the tomb there's cave drawings of them actually domesticating.
That's what it is.
Domesticating.
Oh, nice.
What did I actually read his name at your apartment. His name was Pablos. That's what his name was.
That's one of the most boring pharaoh names I've heard in a while.
I only remember that because he was making kielbasa.
Because there's some good ones.
And it was
Ramses.
The same thing.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering why you were saying that.
Tutankhamun.
I made a cooked sausage earlier.
You made sausage?
No, cooked it.
Oh, okay.
He cooked it.
Ooh, that would be a good hobby. Sausage making?
Uh-oh.
I would love to do that. I would love to do that. Not, like, do it on the show. But
we'd
like
have to get, like, a casing machine. That'd be a pain in the ass.
Sausage.
Anyways.
What do you case it in if you don't have intestines handy?
I mean, I'm sure that you can buy edible casings like they have for
rice
like,
paper.
Slim Jims and shit.
Ooh, rice paper. Do they make sausage with rice paper?
No.
You just made that up.
Yeah, I did.
It sounds right.
Yeah. It's not right,
it's
though.
It's not right. Definitely not rice paper.
You could convince a kid that.
You could convince somebody.
And me.
And Sam Zena. Who does have the mentality of a 6-year-old.
You know how weird that would be to eat?
If you're just tuning in, we're going over some sausage recipes. First, you start with a few layers of rice paper. Then you throw in some bits and pieces.
Bits and chunks and water. It's
really?
100%.
And then you dump a can of Frankenbeans.
Frankenbeans, 100% water. Frankenbeans.
And you've got yourself a sausage.
Like, I want to pretend that that sounds delicious, but I can't even pretend. Everything about that is just so gross.
Frankenbeans wrapped in rice paper?
Yes, Frankenbeans wrapped in rice paper sounds terrible. Maybe if you put some macaroni and cheese in it, too, maybe then you can make it kind of enticing. At least to a five-year-old.
Okay. So,
but maybe a little bit of hot sauce, too.
So you blend the macaroni and cheese and Frankenbeans together.
Right.
Ooh, and then you put it in a Ziploc bag and cut the corner so you can squeeze it out like icing.
Right.
And then you squeeze it into your rice paper tube that you've made overnight.
Right. It's kind of like it's kind of like making cakes when it comes down to it.
Yeah, it's just like that. It's like a show Cake Boss except with meat products.
And then you put it in a Dutch oven for 3 to 5 hours.
Cake pods.
That last part, not necessary. Last part's not necessary.
Oh. Actually, Dutch oven's the most necessary.
I don't think so. I think that's just like a little bit of overkill.
3 to 5 hours? Did you say that, by the way?
On low.
It's a real long time.
Beekeeping started a while ago. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, definitely.
I honestly didn't think bees were around back in the day because I didn't think they coexisted with dinosaurs.
In prehistoric Greece, the beekeeping industry was like a really big part of their industry, like their commerce. Like the people that controlled the beekeeping industry, they were sort of like powerful business people.
Oh, nice.
Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
And it seems...
It's kind of boring, but it's still interesting.
It's like everything about beekeeping is
We've all discussed how truly boring this is. No, but if you think about it in terms of without bees, I mean, I think sort of everyone has heard this before, and if you think about it, it makes sense. Like, because bees, they do most of the pollinating of all plants, and that's, you know, we eat a lot of plants, plus plants feed the animals that we eat. So, like, without bees, you know, we'd be screwed. And so, yeah. in that respect, it makes sense that beekeeping people in the industry were powerful. And it seems like they would be now, too, because...
They'd be powerful.
There's, you know, bees dying off.
Power.
And,
Well, that's a conspiracy theory.
No one knows why, and...
Mel Gibson started that conspiracy
theory,
by the
way.
Power to
the bees. About the beekeepers.
So how many different kinds of bees are there?
20,000 plus.
There's nine. Nine and a half.
Nine and a half, cool. Bees that I'm...
On average.
Bees that I know carpenter bees.
Are those species or, like, roles in the bee colony?
They're species of bees.
Because there's like worker bees and queen bees, and those are the roles. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what role they play, but I know they can drill holes into wood.
Honey bees.
Those are probably your favorite since you love honey. By the way, we need to talk about that. Do you like Honey Nut Cheerios?
I love them. I would still probably enjoy those a lot.
How do you not like honey?
How do you not like honey? You eat peanut butter and cheese sandwiches.
Oh, gross.
Oh, they're good.
Puts cheddar cheese and peanut butter together on a sandwich. He eats that,
gross.
But he won't eat honey. That doesn't make any sense.
It's sort of one of those things that if it tastes really strongly, I don't like it as much. But if it's like just sort of melded into the recipe, then
you'll eat a peanut butter and cheese sandwich, but you won't eat a peanut butter and honey sandwich.
No, I would. I would put a lot of peanut butter on it.
What about chocolate and honey mixed together?
That doesn't sound good. What would I have that on?
Like a graham cracker or something.
What?
It's kind of
like a graham cracker that tastes like honey with chocolate on it.
They put honey
and honey on top.
I think they put honey in Ferrero Rochers. Like if you like those,
they're okay.
There's like
do you like
that's
Milky
chocolate
Way
and honey?
That's not honey though.
I'm just asking.
Yeah, I like Milky Way.
Okay, I like them too. We should get some Milky Way sometime.
How about 100 grain bars? How do you like? How do you feel about 100?
That's
grains?
Caramel.
What about O'Henry's?
These are all going to be caramel.
How about Abba Zabba?
What about Charleston Chew?
We really should have done
what about, wait,
candy
what about
bars.
Bit of honey.
Bit of honey.
But those
bit
taste more honey. Like peanut butter.
Do they,
Do
though?
You like them, though?
Yeah, those are pretty good. Although,
so,
they're really weird crunchy. They're like a weird crunchiness.
Have you ever been stung by a bee?
Yes. Oh, this is a good thing to talk about. So, like, you know, like when you were a kid and getting stung by a bee is like the most horrifying thing ever?
He's just steamrolling us tonight. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Seriously, Dylan's over here pouring his heart out about his childhood.
Well, I want to pour my heart out about my childhood.
You know what? You can go ahead. You've already steamrolled me enough this evening. You can just go to town.
You'll take it after this one.
I don't even know if I want to now.
So you know when you're a kid and you get stung by a bee and it's horrifying?
Yes.
Did you have this sort of experience?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes. 2 years ago, I got stung by a bee. And like so like right when it happened, I was like, oh, this is terrible. But then I was like, this actually doesn't hurt that bad. And like I guess just from seeing... just from being afraid of bees.
Just because you saw my girl when right, you were 10
years old?
Right,
because I saw my girl, or because, like, for whatever reason, adults,
by a million bees.
Adults, like, are just so cautious about bees. I guess because people have allergies, but I didn't. But I was still terrified of them.
Well, so your whole story is about how you, as a grown man, have outgrown your fear of bees.
Well, because I had
that's exactly
that.
What
I mean,
story
that was. Doesn't sound that impressive.
That's an really anticlimactic
like,
story.
If you got stung by a bee and were like crying, I would actually probably.
Well, no,
been
I
had a better story.
I know that.
That'd have been a lot better story.
But the thing
and a little bit more embarrassing.
The thing was,
made it a better
I hadn't
story.
Been I hadn't been stung since I was a child. So when it, right okay. when it happened, I braced myself. For the severe pain and terror.
Did you know you were going to get stung? My favorite,
right when
you?
I realized.
Where were you?
I was in Houston at Houston Free Press Summer Fest.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, honestly, yellow jackets scare me more than bees.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, or wasps or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, but any of those things.
Are
I
those
bet
part
it,
of the bee family?
I bet it's really not that bad. I haven't
gotten
stung since
I was a kid.
Well,
the only way for us to know is if we go out and actually attempt this hobby. See, I think this hobby actually would be a fun thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
To get inside one of those big suits and like
carry like
around.
The big smoke canister.
Yeah, carry on the smoke canister.
It's
the smoke canister. And put the syrup on the smoke canister. I'm just kidding. But yeah, just smoke it up and then just get all the bees out. And then maybe just take a shotgun and just start shooting the hell out of them. And then just, that would be the most fun, honestly.
That would be so fun to just walk into a bee, like a huge beehive with a shotgun.
I don't think
that would
be very effective.
Blow it apart from the inside. So you just watch all the honeycomb just go all over the place and these bees are trying to.
That'd be cool.
And I love to
cool.
watch the bees like so try sticky. To swarm the shotgun, like the end of it, just like, because that's obviously where all the shit's coming from. And then you just blow apart all these, this huge swarm of bees. Everything about that sounds kind of cool, even though we'd be destroying the environment in a way.
So did y'all learn?
No, speaking of my guns, shout out to Adrian.
Shout out to Adrian. Dylan, here's your chance. Can you name things besides honey that beekeepers try to get from bees?
Beeswax or beeswax candles.
That's one.
Let's see. They can make things to make lip moisturizer. What the hell is it that you're always using?
I think it's beeswax.
Balm?
Balm? I don't know.
But I think the beeswax is what they use.
Okay. No, I think it's more of the balm, the bee balm.
Bee balm. No, you can't cheat.
I'm not cheating.
All right.
He's not cheating. Well, there's no technology in here.
Pollen is another one, you know, so we can artificially pollinate.
Yeah.
But here's an interesting one. Royal jelly. Do you know what royal jelly is? Did you learn what that was?
Do tell.
Not only is it a great band name, it's... It's
Royal Jelly. Actually, I do kind of like that.
Yeah, it's a good band.
It's a secretion from bees that they use to feed the larvae and the queen. And humans use it to lower cholesterol. They use it as an anti-inflammatory thing. You know, like ibuprofen.
Of course.
Healing wounds, antibiotic. Some alternative medicine people.
Oh, alternative medicine.
Use it for anti-aging.
Ooh.
And it can even help people with Graves' disease.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Enlighten us on Graves' disease. What is Graves' disease?
Okay, I tried to look it up and understand. It's a thyroid disease. I think it affects your skin mostly. And it, like people with like sunken cheeks or eyes or something. I don't know.
You have no idea what it is.
Yeah, like
stop.
I just didn't.
Just stop right now.
Understand.
I enjoy honey.
It's the most common of thyroid diseases.
Oh, okay. There we go. I have been stung by a bee before.
Tell us about it.
I've swam in a lake before. I've enjoyed 4th of July fireworks before.
Which of those three things was your favorite?
Do those all happen in like a one period of time?
Yeah, bees remind me of old summers in Alabama at my uncle's lake house because they always had big beehives and wasp nests and yellow jackets because they... sometimes they wouldn't clean out the old nest and stuff. So they would just like be like, "Oh, just don't go to that part of the balcony because there's a nest over there." And it's like, "Why don't we just knock it down so we can enjoy that part of the house?"
Right.
And I would always go over there because I was curious, and I just got stung. But that also leads us into talking about categories, kind of.
Your story was a little bit better than Sam's. Just a little bit better than Sam's.
especially the transition.
I kind of like Sam's story, though, because the whole time he's telling it, I just imagined him as a cartoon character, just kind of standing around, just being like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing, and then curling up into a little ball and getting really scared.
Bracing himself.
That's not quite how it happened.
And then he gets stung by the
Blake,
bee.
Blake, I got stung by a bee. Blake.
I was with Blake.
He was.
Shout out to Blake.
Shout out to Adrian again, by the way, because it just is worth
that
it.
That first shout out, I wasn't too sure about it, so I'm glad we did another one.
Well, we did it on the shotgun part, because she totally let me play with her shotgun a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that's...
That is not a euphemism.
No, it's
not at all. It was a legitimate shotgun.
They were drinking, too.
Who lost last time? I did?
Yeah.
That was a terrible
idea. I lost last time.
Oh, yeah.
I said Juggalos, too. I read it off the piece of paper.
Oh, yeah, that's right. How many times have you lost, by the way?
Sam is easily the losing
I think
leader.
I've lost three, but you've lost two, Sam.
You've definitely lost more than three. We've had 15 episodes.
We didn't start it until
later. That doesn't mean
later.
Dylan's actually lost it before.
Well, because Adrian lost
it. No, I think I only lost it once.
Dylan.
And Adrian lost.
Adrian lost, yeah, that one week.
Oh, yeah, Adrian lost. And Donegan lost just from being on here.
Yeah, just for just existing in the world.
Wow.
Shout out to John Donegan, my buddy.
Shout out, John. Hey, shout out to Clay, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
We did see Clay tweeting at us a lot, but let's do categories, and we'll talk about Clay
tweet
later.
Tweet at us. Hobby hard. Categories. I'm trying to think of something that has to do with bees, but can also be general enough.
Go. Think. I'll talk about Clay while you're thinking.
How about bands that start with the letter B?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Okay.
And if it's a, we'll do the same rule as the letter Y. If it's a person's name, the last name has to start with B, or if they only go by one name, like Cher, then it can be a B.
Okay.
It
starts with me.
Yeah, you'll go first.
Beirut.
Band of Horses.
Beatles.
Beach Boys.
Wow, I might have already lost.
There's so many B bands.
I know, this is killing me. I'm already doing terrible
Five,
at this.
I thought this was going to go forever.
Three.
But Beulah.
Big Star.
Gorgo Bordelli. Is that a person? Gorgo?
No.
Close.
How do you say it? Gorgonzo? Gorgo Bordelli?
No. I know who you mean, but I don't know if I can give it to you.
You can't give it to you.
It's like not close enough.
How close is it, though?
It's pretty close, but I don't think it's close enough. You're saying both names wrong.
Yeah, you are saying both names wrong.
Dylan, you know it too?
Yeah.
Damn it, Dylan.
Try again. Try to change both of them a little bit.
Gordon.
No.
Gordon from Batman?
No.
What about
him? That would be a good band name, though, but that starts with a G.
All right, I've lost.
It's Gogo Bordello.
Yeah, Gogol Bordello is what it was.
That's not a person. That's a whole band.
Oh, okay.
Isn't it his name, though?
I don't think so.
Uh-oh, debate.
I think it's the singer's name.
Gogo Bordello?
I think so.
I'm pretty positive you're wrong on that one.
Let's get some verification on that.
All right.
Amazon Kindle. Brought to you by Amazon Kindle.
Sponsored by this whole podcast. Must buy Amazon Kindle.
Thanks, Amazon Kindle, for all your gift bags that you sent us with ears of corn and a few like leaflets.
I enjoyed those leaflets. They were good reading material.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy corn, eating corn. Oh, yeah, I lost categories again. Whatever.
So now you can't say beekeeping.
I think that'll be pretty easy for
because we probably won't talk about beekeeping.
No.
Now we're back to the regular portion of the podcast.
Oh, yeah, so Clay was tweeting at us, so that's good.
What did he say? Let's see what he said. Let's respond to him live.
He was trying to...
But not live.
He was talking about some different things that... So Twitter is this platform to where people can basically share...
By the way, nobody in the band is named Gogo.
Oh,
Bordello.
Really? What's the singer's name? Because he was in a movie, and I thought he was credited as Gogo Bordello.
That's not him in the movie.
Oh, it's just based on him.
Yeah. It's not him in
Wrist
Cutters.
Are you sure?
I'm 100% sure.
What movie is it?
Wrist Cutters.
Weird.
Unless you're thinking about another movie that he's in that I don't know of. He might have actually been in a movie that Madonna directed.
W.E.?
I don't know what name the movie would be called. I've never seen a Madonna movie because I know she directed two, I think. It might have only been one. Either way, he might have actually started a Madonna movie. But
okay, so Clay is listening to wrestling, apparently, and he tweeted, Brock Lesnar tried out for the Vikings, and Goldberg was a scrub for the Falcons. Also, Lex Luger equals Rams, and The Rock equals U-Miami. I'm not sure if they equal those things, but maybe he's trying to say they played for them.
Yeah, yeah. He's new to writing.
Also, we definitely said The Rock played for University of Miami.
Yeah.
So definitely. Why does he feel the need to clarify that?
He's new to writing words.
That's true. He is his Twitter is Clayton W. Evans. He is pretty proud of his Twitter statuses.
Yeah, he's very twitty.
How about we should just Twitter do a new status. Segment where we just read all
Clay's Twitter statuses?
Okay, actually, let's definitely do that.
Can you just find the raciest one? Because he likes to talk about how racy he is.
He thinks racy means racist. Here's an example. I play Sudoku for the sole purpose of continuing to prove my dominance over everything Asian.
Well, that was a classy one.
What was his hashtag?
He doesn't hashtag.
The hashtag was, you should have seen me play basketball against them.
He also live tweeted the Puppy Bowl, by the way. I don't know if you guys saw
that. That was a pretty brilliant move on his part.
Actually, I didn't like it because I wasn't able to watch the Puppy Bowl. I actually wanted to know what was going on in the Puppy Bowl, but he was making little puns talking about how Eli Manning is a puppy or whatever.
I still like the idea of live tweeting the Puppy Bowl, even though I boycotted the Puppy Bowl this year because of the inclusion of cats.
Including cats this year?
Yeah, they had a kitten halftime show.
No, they've had the kitten halftime show for years.
I don't know. I've never seen it before.
They've had it for years.
Well, either way, that's just getting too big for his britches.
It's
I don't
called
like
the
it.
Damn Puppy Bowl.
Exactly. I don't want to see any other cute animals.
But
I want to see one
cats,
cute animal.
They're kittens, and that
don't care.
And kittens can be cute.
Suck.
Yeah, I don't care.
I hate cats, but kittens
I
can be
cute. I
want to
eat cats.
Maybe they can be cute, but they're all
I
named.
I
want
to eat all the cats
they're
in
all,
the world.
They're all named Mittens, and I just don't want to see them in the halftime of the Puppy Bowl. I just want to see one thing. I'm here for the puppies. I want to see the puppies. That's all. Kind of upset about it.
Okay, here's a Puppy Bowl tweet. Buddy Belichickers is out coaching the shit out of Spot Coughlin. That is awful.
I bet that was actually the name of
also,
the coach.
Also, he wrote
coach
things
dogs.
Like 15 yards for necessary roughness and 5 yards for a false bark. He jokes, but they do actually make those calls on the real Puppy Bowl.
That's what makes it even better.
But he has no idea because he didn't even watch it.
How do you know he didn't watch it?
He claims he watched it, but I don't think he did.
I bet he watched it.
And just so everyone in the whole world knows, his profile picture on Twitter is him drinking a blue Four Loko out of a stemless wine glass.
And he's trying to look very classy with that Four Loko. It's kind of unbelievable. I mean, just the smell of that. I can't understand how you could do that because, like, obviously a wine glass is made for you to be able to sniff the beverage. And just, like, the smell of Four Loko, I really do think for the most part is enough to make almost anybody just throw up. It is one of the most vile smelling and tasting things on the face of the planet. So he's just getting a huge whiff of it every time he just takes a drag out of that wine glass. It's just a terrible decision.
I'm reading
on his
Clay's
part.
Twitter, and it's so bad.
All right, another one.
Let's see.
He's going to be so disappointed by this.
I actually
he's definitely going to have something to say, that's for sure.
I actually support his Twitter. I think he's actually hilarious.
He talks about masturbating so much.
He does do that, which is really awkward and really weird.
Well, you know, he's so proud of it. He's just so weirdly arrogant about it. It's kind of hilarious.
He also talks about all the girls of Downton Abbey.
I tried watching that show. It wasn't a big
Downton.
Fan.
It's actually, there's no W no, in the it, end of the
it,
word.
Well, I want to say downtown. I'm going to do it.
That's what everybody does say.
I thought that's what it was for a long time.
Me too. And then I tried to watch
all
the
right,
first
let's close
episode.
This up with a. Let's close up with Clay's best tweet.
I'm trying to find a good one, but they're all just, I don't even feel comfortable reading them.
Well, you might sound kind of racist if you read some of them.
Here's one. It's pretty racy. Behind every great man is a great woman, is the world's longest running anti-gay campaign.
What's the hashtag?
I don't know how I feel about
that. There's no hashtag.
Well, I like how that none of us have anything to say about that. It's just we literally just sat in silence for about 5 seconds. That was our response to it. Well, at least you're giving it the old college try, Clay. He really did tweet at us a lot. Jesus.
What else did he say to us? Oh, here we go.
Who's another character?
Actually, don't follow. Can we just list the people of don't follow? It's don't follow Tuesdays.
Don't follow Tuesday.
Don't follow these people.
Don't follow Wednesday if you're listening to this on Wednesday.
I do like this segment, though, is reading off people's personal Twitter tweets, because...
I probably should have prepared a few, though.
We should read off
some. It was a little choppy.
We should read off some of your tweets.
Mine are boring.
Yeah, Sam's
I just try to talk to celebrities that were on Joss Whedon shows.
Stewart's are actually pretty hilarious.
That's exactly what I use Twitter for.
I do enjoy a good Stewart Hello Santa tweet.
Oh, Hello Santas were pretty good. Those were that had
our friend Stewart. He
made a good one.
Tweets still after Christmas.
Wait, he's still
tweets
doing
pictures
it?
Of yeah, Santa Claus, superimposed on images of his friends and
just
other things.
Stewart just trying to beat things into the ground. Bless his little heart.
So talking
heart.
More about how the bees are going to be the end of the world.
And then we won't have any more puppy bowl, and that'll be sad.
Albert Einstein, I'm paraphrasing, but earlier when I was referring to when bees die out and it'll deplete our food source, Einstein said that we would survive, the human race would survive for 4 years after the extinction of bees. Isn't that crazy?
So the entire human race is dependent on bees?
Yeah. Pretty much every animal, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Actually, even a lot of, even plants, because...
They pollinate plants.
Yeah, bees are like the most important animal ever.
Ever.
I wouldn't say ever.
What else is it going to be?
I don't know.
Owls?
Human?
No, humans aren't important at all. They just fuck shit up.
What about alligators?
I want to be important.
I mean, you are important in certain terms. But as far as the survival of...
Mankind?
Not mankind.
What do you think about
survival of species?
What about Komodo dragons?
Komodo dragons are pretty awesome. I'm actually kind of banking on kind of a scenario in the 2012 movie. You guys see that?
Yeah, it was pretty excellent.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. I'm kind of banking on the fact that like my superhuman instincts would just kick into just full gear in a scenario.
People become superhumans?
No, my superhuman instincts that I have personally.
Yeah.
Would kick into... Have you seen the movie?
Yeah, no, I haven't seen the movie.
The instincts kick in so
hard. What instincts?
Everything. Survival instincts.
Oh, survival
like what? Like, is there a good example?
Oh, like the ability to just, you know, calmly be able to fly a plane when you've never flown... Like, fly a huge jumbo jet when you've never flown a plane before and make sure that you can take it off... while the earth is falling underneath the plane, you can take
you gotta
off.
You got to see this movie.
So they explained that by saying it was an instinct just, like, taking hold of
the body? Just,
oh,
no, he just goes ahead and does it.
Would come into... play.
Wait, did you say Mayan?
No, his
No, my personal instincts would come into play personally.
Do you know what your personal instincts are that would help you survive in a
survivability
situation?
Be able to think of my
survivability. Is that your number one instinct?
Number one instinct is survivability, as well as the capturing of other people that are loose.
Like Mad Max? Like in Mad Max.
Capturing people who are loose? What are you talking about?
Like people that are like in the wild, capturing them and killing them and taking them in.
Well, yeah, because those are the people that are going against your clan. Those are your rivals. Those are the people trying to take out
when
take
starting,
your food.
Oh, right. When starting a clan in this scenario.
You have to have somebody like Sam Porter.
The doomsday scenario.
The doomsday scenario who can you know, defend his clan from all the wildlings out there trying to steal your food and rape your women and... pillage your town.
And pillage the towns, yeah.
Who are these assholes?
Well, you know, you ever...
Kevin Spacey is one of them.
Yeah, Kevin Spacey's totally one of them.
He's in Mad Max?
No, actually,
no,
John...
Not in Mad
John Cusack's
isn't
actually
that what
in
you're...
2012.
Oh, in 2012. And is Kevin Spacey in 2012?
No, I just don't really like Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't like Kevin Spacey?
I don't know. Sometimes he just rubs me the wrong way. Actually, I was kind of frustrated because I got into Dave Letterman... I wanted to see a live taping of Dave Letterman.
I thought you were saying like there was a period in your life where you started watching David Letterman a lot, like you got into it.
There was actually three.
I was really into Letterman for a while.
Yeah, I was like hooked on Letterman. I got to see Letterman live.
Top 20 is always good.
And the guests were Kevin Spacey. And
see,
then,
I would be so psyched about that.
And then the girl from Gilmore Girls.
I would be so psyched about that.
My reaction.
Didn't care about the girl from Gilmore Girls and Kevin Spacey.
Which girl?
The young girl.
Oh, the smoking hot one?
Yeah.
Alexis Bledel?
I think
actually,
so,
they're
yeah.
both hot.
Yeah, they're both
they're
beautiful.
Both hot.
She's really young, though, isn't she?
No, she's like...
I mean, not anymore. She might have been like 20 at the time.
Well, I was 20.
She's probably
yeah, so
at
she's
20.
Probably 20
she's
at
like
the time.
25 or 26. Yeah. She's like our age.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that. I thought she was like 17.
No.
I mean, she's young looking. She played a young girl. You're like banging the phone on the table.
Can you hear that?
Yeah, I would have agreed with you on that one, Porter. I wouldn't have really given that much of a shit
Ooh,
about
I
those
been
two
so
guests.
Excited.
I would have been like, oh.
And there's no musical guest, too.
No, so
that sucks.
So they did, instead of a top 10, he did a top 25? Like, how
did like
extra
a top,
time?
He did like a top 10. Paul Schaefer sounded like an idiot.
He always sounds like a
total hilarious.
Idiot.
He is so dumb.
I like Letterman and Schaefer. I think
really
they're funny.
Schaefer's
really?
Because funny? He's not funny?
Because their shtick is they don't give a shit anymore, and they're just like saying stupid stuff. And like
Schaefer just sounds like
funny.
This the whole time. He's like, oh, yeah? Dave. Hey, Dave. Hey. Oh, yeah? Dave. Hey, Dave, last weekend.
It cracks me up, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he just literally is the man's yes man. It's not funny. It's just kind of like, ah, ha, ha, funny joke. He's just like...
I like Letterman.
He's just like a slightly less annoying version of the guy on Leno. What the hell is that?
Kevin Eubanks?
I would watch Letterman over Leno.
Eubanks, I wouldn't necessarily call him annoying. He's just sort of pointless.
Right. They're both like pointless.
He can be written out.
Right.
And he was. He's not on...
Paul
Schaefer? He's not on, Kevin Eubanks.
Show Kevin Eubanks, on. Yeah. He's or no, let's not even get a Leno. Leno's useless.
The Roots are the best band in you know, late night shows
obviously.
Now.
Well, yeah, that's a good
they're
one.
A band.
Well, right, but then you've also got...
Even Conan's... Uh-oh.
Sam's cutting out over here.
Hello?
Is the connection good?
Yeah, I think it's good.
How's the Wi-Fi where you are?
Wi-Fi is good. It's weak. It's a 3.7 out of 7.5.
How's your data plan?
Data plan bumping.
You are you, like, in the vicinity of some towers?
Yeah, I think we're pretty much done here with this hobby. So, is anyone who's actually going to?
Oh, wait! Weird fact.
Okay.
The only beekeeper in popular culture that I could find was Sherlock Holmes.
Oh wow!
Have you all seen the Sherlock Holmes movies? The recent
one? The first one, and let me tell you what I thought about it. Stinker.
Was he a beekeeper in it at all?
No, he wasn't a beekeeper. He was
checking.
He was just.
I hadn't seen it.
He was just in love with Watson, and then he had solved a mystery, and it was just really annoying.
Do they really have like a relationship?
I mean, they have a very.
They don't have a romantic.
They don't
relationship.
Have a. There's a lot of sexual tension between the two of them.
Seriously?
Let's just put it that way. Absolutely.
Sherlock Holmes and Watson.
Yes, in that movie.
No.
Did you
absolutely.
See it?
Absolutely.
Yes, I saw it.
There's a lot of sexual tension between the two.
Yeah,
of them
well, there was in the books, right?
Right, in the books there was
yeah.
too.
Oh.
There was a lot of sexual tension between the two. Of them.
I thought there was more sexual tension between what's the girl, Rachel McAdams.
She's like in the movie for half an hour.
But I thought the sexual tension was a lot stronger between them two than the dudes.
Nah, don't think so. I mean, I really hated every minute of that movie, so.
Let's leave it to the Twitterverse to decide.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
What's your favorite Sherlock Holmes book?
Well, either way, wasn't a fan of that movie.
That about wraps it up. I hope you enjoyed all the things you learned about beekeeping.
Oh, what are we going to do? Are we going to do this?
I would not
let's
want to
vote.
Do this.
None of us like beekeeping.
No, I wouldn't do this. Thank you.
We have zero respect for beekeeping, as evident by this entire episode.
We have respect for bees, though.
Yeah, definitely. They're going to ruin our lives or make it way better. So, gracias and adios.
Really off the rails episode right there.
That was a stinker.
That was probably the worst episode.
Absolutely.